looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Learning is fun at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. for Little Explorers, a hands-on learning program for children ages 2 to 5. Stories, crafts, and so much more. There's a new theme every month. Looking for something fun to do on the weekend? In addition to ongoing exhibits, Turtle Bay offers family and science programs every second and third Saturday each month, included with admission and always free for members. Don't miss out. Visit turtlebay.org for more information.
Well, good evening and welcome to North State Now, Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. I'm your host this evening. And we are going to have a wonderful show tonight. We actually have a guest in our studio, April DiMercurio from Northern Valley Catholic Social Service. And she is a program director for CalHOPE Shasta. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
So we love having them here. We actually, our very first show started out with this exact amazing organization, and they have done so much for our community in regards to the car fire and how they've just really made an impact and a difference in the lives of those that are living here. And so tonight we want to go back in honor of what they're doing as heroes in the North State for those who really needed it the most when they were at their absolute probably lowest, it may have felt in some cases. And then we're going to fast forward a few months here as we, as a community, have survived. We have grown. We've changed. We've learned things. We've become stronger with each other. And so we just want to take that journey in respect for our anniversary month. So I can't believe it's already been a year, April.
I can't believe it either. It's gone by very fast.
Yeah, it definitely has. And you know, if you are listening for the very first time and have never tuned in before, just to give you a little background on what Heroes of the North State is here on KCNR, I come to you once a month, the second Thursday of the month at 6:05, right after the news, to talk to you and to shine a light on local heroes in our community who are rising above. They're making a difference in the lives of others around them, not because they have to, not because they're told to, not because it's just something they're guilted into. It's because they're just good people making a difference, and it's the right thing to do. And so what an honor to be able to sit in this chair and get to speak with you, April, to talk about all the things that not only you personally have been doing with CalHOPE Shasta, but also to just describe what it is over the months CalHOPE Shasta has been involved in. So why don't we, if you don't mind, why don't we set the stage with you? Your team came on the first show, and they were amazing, and everything was so fresh. And they were explaining to us, what is CalHOPE Shasta? How is it part of Northern Valley Catholic Social Services, and where do you get the funding? And basically, how is the funding distributed? So we have a little bit of time in this first segment. Why don't we talk a little bit more about that, and I'll give you an opportunity to share.
Okay, great. So the funding, it all starts, this program, CalHOPE Shasta, or it's actually referred to as the CCP, the Crisis Counseling Program, which comes from FEMA. And that's then gone down the pipeline through the state and then also our local county. And through that, we are considered an umbrella organization, if you will, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service.
Okay.
And that is where we then started our program, CalHOPE Shasta. And a program, the CCP, is started once the disaster has been declared by the president. And that's what kicks that into gear. It started back in October, and that's when we initiated our team.
Okay. So what do you think, when that very first came together, what were the first steps? How did you go about initiating a team?
We put out our feelers, and we actually hosted a group interview to find all of the people for our team because it was such a large team. It's actually 10 crisis counselors with a team lead and a program manager. So we knew that we needed to take a different approach and also to try and get things moving as quickly as possible with the community where they were at and knew that there was a huge need for what we were doing.
Right. And so what was the area or what is the area that you cover? Is it?
Are you talking geographically?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So within Shasta County, so that means we can go all the way up to Burney, we can go through Palisadro and Anderson and all over, but we have to stay within the Shasta County lines.
Okay. And that's part of your FEMA grant criteria?
Yes.
Okay. So then that must be difficult because I know there were a lot of people who were affected that weren't necessarily in that zip code,
yes.
Or zip codes,
yes.
I might say. How did you go about handling that? That must have been quite a struggle on your heart,
yes.
I would think, as crisis interventional.
Yeah, so Northern Valley Catholic Social Service is actually a regional organization, and so we have locations and programs in 6 different counties, and so we were able to utilize that and use our different locations to make sure we could get the word out, so different things from phone calls to Facebook messages and emails, whatever way that we could communicate with survivors.
Okay, because you had a lot of families also, I imagine, that were separated during that time, who were coming at it probably from different perspectives of the crisis situation. Some that were affected, maybe their homes were lost in the fire. Others were displaced.
Mm-hmm.
Animals were displaced. What were some of the calls that you were receiving in the very early time during that setup?
So we didn't actually receive a whole lot of calls in the beginning. We were out there boots on the ground.
Okay.
So our team went out and they went into different neighborhoods that were impacted, neighborhoods that were surrounding and didn't have specific damage or destruction, but trying to reach the people that any way that we possibly could. So that also included just material distribution of our flyers through all of the local businesses that we could get to and just plaster that flyer and brochure out there so people knew who we were and what we were about and how we could help them.
I see. So how long from the time the president came in and said, okay, we're now going to declare this CCP program, and FEMA money was released to you, what was that time frame of actually being set up and ready to go put boots on the ground?
I want to say it was a quick process. I got to be into this program in the very beginning, but it was all just very unknown to us as an organization. So we really looked to the state and the Department of Healthcare Services to help us through that process.
Okay.
And it can be a slow-moving process in the beginning. As much as you want to get out there as quickly as possible, we also want to do this the right way.
Exactly.
And make sure that we're hiring people who have a background that can work with survivors and just work with them through this whole process and be a support.
Right.
Really what we want to offer is to be emotionally supportive and connect people to resources.
Well, that's true. And I've heard not only in the early stages, but even currently, that you have some great programs and counseling services that are available. They've changed, I'm sure, as people heal and time moves on. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about what that looked like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So in the early stages, you were seeing probably a lot of, and then you can fill in the blank.
Sure. So we did, and I don't know if you've heard of Adopt-A-Family, but Northern Valley does do Adopt-A-Family around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So what we did in the beginning, before even the crisis counseling team in CalHope Shasta was stood up, we did an Adopt-A-Family for car fire families.
Okay.
And that was kind of our beginning stages. We were at the excuse me if I don't remember the acronym correctly, but the Disaster Recovery Center, the DRC.
Okay.
So we were present there with, you know, Samaritan's Purse and all sorts of different agencies that come in with that recovery, not really the recovery, but that immediate response to the disaster, so that we knew we needed to do something, but we weren't exactly sure what that was or how do we do that.
Right.
But we needed to support our community in the best way that we could. So we just jumped on board and really did that and offer.
Right.
We did offer immediate services in regards to counseling for fire survivors.
Okay.
So that was free 8 free sessions, which we actually have been able to bring back later on. So we can talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, let's do that. I hate to cut you off at that spot, but we're going to go ahead and take a couple of commercial breaks, and then we're going to come back. And then I'd really like to continue this part of the conversation, because I think it's important that we shed a light on where people were during that time, and to help us move forward to where we're at today.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in just a moment. You're watching Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade, and here with me in the studio is April DiMercurio, and she is with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, and their program is with Cal Hope Shasta, and we'll be right back.
The Marshall Tucker Band. Fire on the mountain, through hell and high water. And back again for 2019. July 21st at the Reading Civic Auditorium. A night of hits and songs from all the hit albums. There's more at MarshallTucker.com. For reserved seats, call the box office at 530-229-0022 or visit ReadingCivic.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse. A timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalennikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
The Cascade Theater presents 4 free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. 4 films, 4 Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First 5 Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Well, welcome back. I'm Michelle Slade, and you are listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR. And today, tonight, we're here with April DiMercurio, and she is with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service and the Cal Hope Shasta Program. And April, pardon me, before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about people's needs and what they originally came to Cal Hope Shasta for, and if you wanted to expand on that a little bit more.
Yeah, so in the beginning, you know, we really thought it was that immediate need, the disaster response, getting people into housing, helping with food and financial assistance, and really connecting to the different resources that were available after the disaster. And now we're seeing people really struggling as time has gone on. Healing is of course, it's different for everyone. But time, yes, it does help, but you know, there's a lot more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And people are experiencing anxiety and depression and fear, especially as we approach the anniversary. And of course, fire season, there's a lot of triggering events going on right now, you know, from smoke and helicopters and sirens. All of that really can set people off. And without knowing what anxiety and depression and all those things look like, there's so many different ways that that can impact your body physically, emotionally, all around that.
Right. Yeah, I think about that and just the little kids in the family who, so you're getting back to some sense of normalcy, hopefully, for a lot of families right now. But also keeping in mind that not all of them are in permanent placement. Many, many, many families are still in their temporary housing situations. And to have, like, just what you said, when you hear a fire story come across the news, well, luckily we've had a really slow fire season this year and that's good for a lot of people. But I can imagine if you had littles in the house and they hear a siren, even when it's not fire season, that even if the parents are moving forward, you need to stop and be able to help process that.
And it's not just people who had lost their homes or had damage or even were evacuated. Mm-hmm. Many people, even including myself, you know, I smell smoke and your senses are heightened and you're worried that it's going to happen again, and that's very common right now for people to feel that way.
Well, and we're at that place where we're talking about clearing defensible spaces around your home. It's the season we do that normally. And so that language is coming out, and we're talking about being, you know, safe and having a safety plan. And I know that there's talk about blackouts with our electricities, and so that kind of triggers, you know, I would imagine that as well. So I'm thinking – also, along with that, there's got to be some stories and some families that have really, and it's okay, you don't have to share stories, but some families who have really started out thinking there's no hope, but now because of this program, I mean, just the title alone, the name alone provides hope. Who wouldn't want to call and say what services are available? And I think you've done an excellent job as an organization getting the news out in a short period of time. I know you say 10 or 12, it sounds like we were talking about crisis counselors on staff, but when you think about the amount of people that were impacted in our community, that's a lot of counselors, but it still probably wasn't enough, I would imagine.
I would agree with you there. And on top of it, not only did we have the car fire, but then we had the HERS and the Delta, and then the campfire happened. And we have a lot of families living in Shasta County who have relocated from Paradise and in the Butte County area. So that's definitely changed the dynamic of this entire program.
Okay.
It's not something that has ever happened before, and it's not something that FEMA or the state knows how to deal with, because it's the very first time we've had two natural disasters declared by the president so close in proximity, and had all these survivors have moved here and had to be displaced from their home and nowhere to go and relocated up here. So it's really changed the entire dynamic of this.
Well, that's true. I had heard stories about families who were affected here with the car fire, and then they were then placed with other family members in the community for the campfire, and it happened to them. It was like twice in the same season. And I just can't even fathom that. And then I think of your program, which has all of these amazing services available. Maybe we should touch on that a little bit, because you started out with all these services for counseling in the early stages, and some people are still in that place in processing, because you're right, the stages of grief are different for every person. Even within your own, obviously within your own family, you're healing at different times. So, but now we're fast forward and we're in July of 2019, and you've got workshops here and counseling services that are pretty impressive. Maybe we could talk a little bit about what those look like and shine a little hope for those who are still processing them.
Yeah. One thing I just wanted to mention, too, is the phase that we are currently in from the disaster is something that we refer to as the disillusionment phase.
Okay.
And it also is totally circulated around triggering events and the anniversary. And so a lot of those feelings that may have occurred in the beginning are starting to recirculate now.
Okay.
And we're seeing some of the same types of emotions and fears coming out. And so we are offering, we did get a wildfire grant. Okay. And so that allows us to offer up to 8 free sessions to someone who has been impacted by the fires. And that is not restricted to just car fire survivors, just to put that out there. There is a wait list, unfortunately, but we're working through that. And as time goes on, we're trying to figure out a solution for that. But in the meantime, before our program closes, we are offering our third round of support groups. So this is the third month that we've hosted at NVCSS, where we have different topics each week. And part of it is, you know, it's a little bit of education, but it's really about connection for survivors to create that support network within each, amongst the group themselves.
Well, that's true, because everything, the funding, you kind of touched on that. So the funding is ending in the end of July or August?
The end of August. Our last day will be August 30th.
Okay. So then in that time, you've been working with other community partners. So it's not like the funding's going to end and the programs that Northern Valley Catholic Social Service has been offering may dissipate to some degree or go away. But there are other agencies, I imagine, in a community that are kind of helping support that.
Yes, and there are other things. We're continuously looking for other funding opportunities because we know that this is important. It's a need, and people, they need support. And so we want to do what we can to offer that. We do have a disaster case management program. It's a little bit different than the CalHOPE Shasta program, but that's helping people through the recovery and more so the rebuild process.
Right. Well, and also I can only speak for myself is whenever you've gone through something that's unexpected and then you go through that grief period of time, when you get to the other part where you feel like you're getting stronger and you're healing and you're moving forward, comes that preparedness for if this happens again, what am I going to do? And so I think that's a vital piece of the puzzle. Is that something that CalHOPE Shasta is working on or has connections with?
We work with CAL FIRE, and they've offered us the materials to use, especially for kids. There's a piece in there for kiddos.
Yeah.
But the defensible space is very important. However, you know, there's only so much you can do, and sometimes it's not enough, unfortunately. I can say that there are different things coming down through the pipeline for disaster preparedness.
Right.
And because Shasta County had an established VOAD, I don't know if you're familiar
with that.
I might mess up the acronym.
That's okay. That's all right.
Voluntary organizations assisting after a disaster, somewhere along those lines. But I truly believe that one of the reasons our community was, I don't want to say we were prepared for this because I don't think we were prepared for anything on this magnitude. However, because this group of volunteer organizations was already stood up, that's how the Disaster Recovery Center and the shelters, they go up so quickly.
Okay.
So it's something that our community has in place. And now that, you know, since this has happened, they are building on that. And we're trying to, you know, get plans in place, things that we weren't prepared for, trying to work on that avenue.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. And we touched on it in the very first show, how out of disaster, I believe in anything, you can find a positive. That's just my life's belief. In any kind of hopeless situation, there's light. And you just sometimes have to look a little bit harder for it. But what I found in our community, at least from my perspective, is when all of this was really fresh, we were at a state in our community where we were talking about the things that we really just didn't like. And so there was kind of this underground noise. It was on it was actually out on social media all the time, or you talk to people, well, the trails aren't safe, or this isn't safe. And we were kind of going down, I think, as a community, in some regards, a little bit of a negative spin. And then we have this huge natural disaster that's completely out of our control. And suddenly that stuff just sort of went away, and really great people rose to the occasion and took in total strangers into their home. They fed total strangers. And we're not talking like for a night. We're saying, I have an extra room. Come live with me. And people were just so giving and so generous. And we've always lived in a giving, generous community. And I think that that just really shows, you know, there's a reason why I think the last figure I saw, we're 7th in the nation for giving.
Oh,
which is
nice,
huge. Shasta County. Yes. I think so. And so, And moving forward, I think that's part of the healing process. Like, things have cropped up. That's how this show actually came about, because here we are, all of this is happening, and thinking, what can we do? Like, what can I do? I'm one person. Okay, so we make donations, and that's right, and we should do that, and we should help families. But in that, I'm thinking, there are so many great people in this town. We should be really shining a light on them. And that's where we came to Cal Hope Shasta, and thank you for coming back for a second interview to tell us where through this program, where we're really at as a community from your guys' perspective. April, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about ways that Cal Hope Shasta can shine a light and hopefully give you some hope for the future. We'll be right back.
Celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. Hi, I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we'll learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Tuesday of the month at 6:05 p.m., right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Come on, let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we strive to be the gatekeepers of 100% organically grown produce. Our goal is to provide you and your family with produce that is fresh from the farm and pure 100% organically grown. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Redding.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Haven Humane Society will be holding our annual Putt for Paws Golf Tournament on July 12th at the beautiful Riverview Golf and Country Club. This fabulous four-person scramble will tee off at 9 a.m. There will be an awards lunch, raffles, prizes, and so much more. Sign up your four-man team today for only $400, or single players are only $100, with all proceeds going to help the animals at Haven Humane Society. We will see you on the green.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
While serving in Iraq, Sergeant Jason Nielsen suffered a paralyzing injury. Paralyzed Veterans of America's service officers are trained to help injured veterans get all the benefits they've earned. To help paralyzed veterans, visit pva.org.
Well, welcome back to the studio. I'm Michelle Slade. I am your host for Heroes of the North State. And tonight we are talking with April DiMercurio. Now, April's with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, and she's a program director for Cal Hope Shasta. And we've just been having a really good conversation about our community in over the last several months and how they were affected at the very beginning of the car fire. They are a grant-funded FEMA program. That grant funding's going to be ending at the end of August. And so we just want to talk a little bit more about some of the resources that they have, ways that they can help, ways they can help create hope, provide you with just great resources moving forward. And then what, and there's other things that we talked about when we were on the break, April. We were talking about trauma and what it is. And I know that you had some great information. I would love for you to share that with our listeners, because some people might be at home thinking, well, maybe that doesn't apply to me. Mm-hmm. Or is that possible that grandpa is dealing with this and doesn't realize it? So maybe you could shine a little light on that for us.
Yeah, normally I don't like to just refer to a definition, but I think the definition of trauma and what it is very helpful for someone to understand. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to go ahead and share that trauma is an event either witnessed or experienced that represents a fundamental threat to an individual's physical safety or survival. And so with that, I feel like that just paints a picture of the fires that we've had, and having to leave and evacuate so quickly, and all of that is a very scary, traumatic experience. Whether you're 5 or 20, 50, 80 years old, it is a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm. And having a natural disaster, that is part of a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
And so some of the things we want to point out is that the feelings or whether they're behavioral or physical symptoms that you've experienced or feeling now, it's normal. And that we want to normalize that for people and show that there's a lot of other people out there that are experiencing the same thing, whatever that level of trauma look like for you. Mm-hmm. And it's a normal feeling that's happened because of this event.
That's true. And I think, is it possible that sometimes one trauma can mask another, where, one situation where maybe you wouldn't normally respond the way that you do, but because there's this underlying traumatic experience that's happened, you're outside of your normal response coping mechanisms?
Yeah,
that makes sense?
It does. And maybe that's you're short tempered or you're frustrated and you get snippy with people, or you're crying all the time, you know, all sorts of anger, just different things like that is very common. And a lot of times too, this is not the first traumatic experience that someone has gone through.
Right.
We've seen that a lot, is that this is something that people have had prior trauma in their lives, and because of this new trauma that's happened, it's also heightened a lot of these feelings.
Right.
It's bringing back a lot of bad memories or dredging up the past, even though they may not be connected in any way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've experienced trauma in your past, that it also could mean that this is part of, you know, why you're feeling the way that you're feeling.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And so do you have others that you would like to share?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a couple physical signs as well as some behavioral. Feeling exhausted and having insomnia, so mm-hmm. that could look like it takes forever to fall asleep. You wake up in the middle of the night and, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning and you don't even know why and you can't go back to sleep.
Yeah.
It means sleeping too much sometimes. That can also be a part of it. Having headaches, having GI problems is very common. Mm-hmm. Having stomach issues and, you know, and that's part of anxiety as well. Having heart palpitations sometimes, or having soreness or pain that's come up.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the behavioral signs that do come into
yeah.
play. Maybe that means you're not talking to anybody. You're not returning phone calls. You also might be maybe you lost everything and you have a friend that lost everything, but you guys, just because that happened to both of you doesn't mean that you're at the same stage or you're feeling the same ways. Maybe one of you wants to connect and the other wants nothing to do with it. It also, you could feel hopeless. just having issues in your relationships, personal, mm-hmm. you know, with your spouse or with your friends and family, you're avoiding things, watching too much TV, mm-hmm. a lot of Netflix, binge watching.
Yeah,
binge watching. It's okay mm-hmm. to binge watch sometimes, but if you do it too much, are you avoiding something?
Yeah.
And just being aware that that's happening. And then also we see things, especially with the agency that we work with, we have a lot of partnering organizations who are dealing with mm-hmm. Survivors and helping them through this process, you know, whether it's rebuild or counseling services or, you know, all sorts of just mm-hmm. this whole process. And that means that they can be impacted by that as well and have secondary traumatic stress. And so you'd see a lot of the same behavioral symptoms as well as the physical symptoms for someone who has not lost anything. But all around them, you know, you're surrounded yeah. by loss. And so that happens to people who are working alongside survivors, friends too, survivors guilt for not have lost your home. You know, we've seen some houses that are in a neighborhood all by themselves, and
yeah.
to feel that survivor's guilt is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to point that out, that it is normal. And if it's something that continues to happen and doesn't go away, you might need to seek professional help. Want to talk about the situation that you experienced, but also just having a support network, whatever that right. looks like for you.
Well, and I think that's what's so great with what CalHope Chefs is doing, because not only do you have these support groups that are coming up, like your calendar in July is packed full of ways that you can get together and meet with people who have had similar experiences, who you can potentially, if you haven't already, build a bond with them. Because when this program, and it will go away eventually, it will be really nice to be able to have some connections with individuals in the community who have you've built a bond with.
Yes.
Pardon me. Well, could you talk a little bit more about the programs that we have on your calendar for July?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have we are offering, as CalHope Shasta, support groups on Tuesday nights. And so they're different topics. And we did have our first one this week, which we focused on the phases of recovery. So we talk about the stage of where our community is at and talking about where you might be in your recovery process, and that it's okay if you're not where your neighbor is. Emotionally, physically, mm-hmm. with your rebuild, whatever that looks like, it's okay if you're not at the same place that everyone else is at or some people that you know. And then, so next Tuesday, we're going to focus on relationships, love languages, and grief. I don't know if you're familiar with love languages.
I love studying on that.
That's great. So that it's not just in your intimate relationship with a partner. That's in your everyday relationships with friends and family, coworkers. We have seen a lot of relationships that are suffering because of this trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, people are, like I keep referring, that people can be at different stages. And so that oftentimes impacts your relationships. And so we want to focus on that and really find out, you know, what is your partner's love language? How can you guys help each other in this process by understanding where that other person is at?
Right, right. So you've touched on love languages, and I think, honestly, more and more people are starting to understand what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's probably a good group out there that maybe doesn't know what that is. Are you comfortable speaking on that?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I have the book, but I have yes. to say I haven't read it. But my husband and I have done the quiz together.
Yeah.
And really knowing what your love language is, because oftentimes, you know, you know what yours is.
Yes.
And you'll use that for someone else, but that's not always, you know, yeah. don't always have the same love language. And, you know, that could be quality time, words of affirmation and praise, giving mm-hmm. gifts, things like that.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes you're different than another person typically, but understanding mm-hmm. what the other person's love language is can help you through this process and,
right.
and really healing together.
Well, what I found in that, and I think CalHope Shasta is a really good example of how to act on love languages, because through the counseling process, it's really just the fine art of communication on how you give love is typically how you want to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not even know that. So if you're a person that loves to buy gifts for people and you're doing it all the time, and then they do like that little scenario in there where your tank gets empty. If it's not getting filled up with your love language, you run out of fuel and you don't have anything else to give. And so just paying attention to those people. Some people are, you're right, words of affirmation. You're amazing. You're doing such a great job. Well, if it's that kind of person talking to you, typically that's the kind of love language they would like to hear mm-hmm. back. And they probably don't even know it. It's just kind of just who we are as people. Calhope Shasta, pretty remarkable. I love what you guys have done from the very beginning with Boots on the Street. You're going above and beyond what the grant has required you to do. When we come back, we're going to take a commercial break in just a second. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about that. It'll be our last segment. Let's talk about the hope factor that's in Calhope Shasta and really just leave people with that sense of your program's going away, but we still are in a community that's really pretty amazing.
Yes, we are.
So, okay, we'll be back in just a moment. I hope you're having a good evening with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank. Consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and, of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The Cascade Theater presents four free films and a whole lot of fun this July with the Kids Summer Movie Club. Every Sunday afternoon in July, the theater opens the door at 2 with completely free admission for everybody. Turtle Bay will be there to show off some animals and hand out prizes. There's activities and then the film at 3, featuring Monsters, Inc., WALL-E, Cars, and Brave. Four films, four Sundays in July. Sponsored by JPR, KIXE, First Five Shasta, and Turtle Bay. See you there.
Come see Little Women at Riverfront Playhouse, a timeless tale that has delighted audiences for generations is being performed on the Reading stage. Follow Meg, Joe, Amy, and Beth through the ups and downs of growing up. Watch as they laugh, cry, live, and love all through the strength of sisterhood and the power of family. Written by Louisa May Alcott, adapted by John Ravold, directed by Annie Bakalennikoff. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store in Reading. Showtimes are Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, running July 20th through August 17th.
The Marshall Tucker Band.
Fire on the mountain,
through hell and high water. And back again for 2019. July 21st at the Reading Civic Auditorium. A night of hits and songs from all the hit albums. There's more at MarshallTucker.com. For reserved seats, call the box office at 530-229-0022 or visit ReadingCivic.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
To come into a place with this many people and not know the people and be comfortable immediately, that says so much to me. Everybody's so happy. Everybody's talking to everybody. I felt apart the minute I moved in. The music that's brought in, what a wonderful thing to do for people, that we can go down and sit and relax and be entertained. I absolutely cannot imagine a thing that could be done around here that would improve it in any way.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
Well, Well, welcome back to the show. I'm Michelle Slade. You're watching Heroes of the North State on KCNR's North State Now. We are here every second Thursday of the month at 6 o'clock, 6:05, right after the news. So you want to tune in because each time we come back, we're talking about a different organization, a different individual who is really just rising above to make the difference in the lives of those in our community. And it could be something as small as, hey, this person is continually like just doing nice things for its neighbor. They're mowing the lawn. They're helping someone with their groceries. They're got the cat out of the tree. You know, those type of people that are our everyday unsung heroes. And then there's groups like Cal Hope Shasta that came in during a natural disaster. And yes, they had grant funds to help them get their boots on the ground, but their staff is remarkable. They go above and beyond outside of the call of duty every single day, way past the hours in which they're being grant funded to do. It's really not the type of program where you could have a ton of outside volunteers because it's specialized in their counseling services and everything else that they're doing. But I just want to personally thank you before we run out of time, April, for everything. We barely scratched the surface on what it is that Cal Hope Shasta is offering our community. Or has been offering our community.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. You know, when we were on the break, this is our last segment, so we want to give you enough time to talk about the importance of self-care. We were talking a little bit about that on the break. But we also want to talk more about community and support, and we'll leave everybody with that hope that really is in your name. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to let you just tell us as much as you can in the amount of time that we have, and then help direct us to where they can get resources or information.
Okay, great.
Okay, good.
So, you know, we talked about all the symptoms that people might be feeling, physical, behavioral. One thing that's so important is taking care of yourself. And what does that look like for, I mean, everybody has a different way of taking care of themselves. Maybe that's a pedicure, maybe that's a massage, but it's something that you want to do on a regular basis, not just sometimes, because that's so huge in the healing process is really taking care of yourself and finding that time, whatever that looks like for you. And maybe something that was your self-care before the fire happened is not your self-care now. So really just looking into that, and there's different areas of self-care, intellectual, physical, spiritual, social, and emotional, different areas that you can really find how to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And really that healing process is just, it makes it a lot easier and smoother when you're taking care of yourself. But oftentimes it's really hard to figure out what is your self-care, what helps you with that. So I just want to go into some of the things that will be here once Cal Hope Shasta is gone. This community is amazing in how we've pulled together and supporting each other. There's so many organizations and individuals that have just really come out of the woodwork and done whatever they possibly could to support survivors from the fires. And we have quite a few different partners that we have. One of the things I want to focus on, though, is the Mobile Crisis Unit and the Care, Hill Country Care. They are amazing, and they have some pretty cool hours. I think that's neat. It's outside that 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, and what they do and how they can help. There's so many different things that they can offer you, but they're here to support you. And then also our NorCal CRT. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I've heard the name, but I could learn more, I'm sure.
Okay, so CRT stands for the Community Recovery Team. Mm-hmm. And so this is a group that is a lot of, it's all those organizations we're talking about in the beginning. They've come and sat around that table and tried to figure out, how do we recover? How do we rebuild and move forward in a good future? And so that group is really out there to help that the rebuild process of where we're at right now. And so part of that is the Disaster Case Management Team, which is also a FEMA-funded program that's trickled down the line, and NVCSS gets to be that umbrella organization, which has been a very unique experience for our programs because we've had a lot of crossover and we've been able to have a cohesive program within our two, and they've been able to learn a lot from us and vice versa.
Right.
And we've been able to provide them with many resources just to get that piece of things started. Mm-hmm. And so they'll be here to help people through that rebuild process over the next year and a half. And then more things will come down the pipeline. But Also, Creekside Counseling is offering free counseling services. I know they have a wait list also, but please don't hesitate to get on that wait list just so you can try to talk to someone. They help with case management as well. And then our organization, like I had mentioned earlier, NVCSS, does offer up to 8 free sessions for wildfire survivors. And it's something that we want to keep doing and as it is needed.
I think that Northern Valley Catholic Social Service has an amazing counseling program. I know it's probably changed, and it's all dependent on funding as time goes by. But years ago, I know someone who used it where they did it on a sliding scale at that time. And so you would come in for your counseling, and it was literally like $10. Wow. And it changed the whole scope of this family unit. They each member was able to go and have individual sessions, and then they were able to go as a group. And because oftentimes it may seem out of reach, especially if you're dealing with a natural disaster and you need to spend your funds in other areas, funds can be kind of limited. To have resources like this, or free community avenues to go, like on your, I think you have like Tuesdays and Thursdays, you have different groups. There's so many different things on your calendar. The resilience protective factor workshops that are coming up, the importance of self-care workshops that are coming up. I mean, these are really great tools to be able to not only improve yourself, your own self-care, but to help those around you if you're able to.
Yeah, and it's a really good place to connect with other survivors. So once we're gone, that you have this supportive network that you've created with other survivors who've experienced something similar.
Right.
So like you were saying, we have Cup of Hope and Walk of Hope. So those are just gatherings that people come to together to chat and just receive support. You know, we don't always talk about the fire. One of my staff members was telling me, one time we just talked about our ancestry and how did, what our history and everything is, how do people come to here? And just to have that support is a wonderful thing. It doesn't have to always be around the fire and what happened, but really just finding people that you can feel safe and comfortable with and that support each other.
Right. So Cup of Hope, coffee involved?
Yes. Starbucks on South Bonnyview has graciously allowed us to use their little back area, their room that they have. And so we can have a private conversation too. It's not always out in the open. And, like I said, it's really just it is a way for people to connect.
Right.
And feel supportive. And Walks of Hope, we take a walk.
Yeah.
And we start at 8 a.m. because it's a little hot out there.
Yes.
So our calendar has all of this information as well as the details of where, when, what time, all of that, which you can find on our Facebook page.
Okay, fantastic. And I imagine new opportunities are cropping up. So check back often on Facebook because that calendar could change.
Yes.
Okay, so when it changes, is it just in the news feed? Is that where everyone finds it?
Yeah, we'll make posts that say if something's changed or added. We can't always put everything on there, and then people add new things in the community that we want to get that word out for them. So we know that there's some anniversary events coming up at the end of July. We might see some in August as well.
Okay, so I imagine out of those groups, when you're building a bond with individuals, they're having spinoff groups of their own of just friendships that they've kindled.
Yeah, we've seen that a little bit, people exchanging phone numbers and, connecting at other events and outings and being supportive of one another.
Yes.
There's been events that have happened in the community that are offering, free or low-cost services or items, material items. And we've heard of survivors going and actually picking out items for other people versus themselves.
Wonderful. See?
Yeah.
That's where we're rising above.
Yes.
So we have 2 minutes left before we take a break. So maybe like a minute and a half, we'll wrap up. Is there details, anything that you want to share? I don't want to limit you on.
Yeah. So I do just want to point out that there are multiple events happening on Friday, July 26th, around the anniversary and really honoring that. And so you can find the details of that on our Facebook page, as well as other places in the online area. City of Reading is hosting an event. And then we'll also be hosting a resource fair on that Saturday, the 27th. So a lot of those organizations that we've worked with, as well as other individuals and groups who want to show people, survivors, what is still out there so we can connect you with them before we're gone.
Okay. So where's the resource fair going to be?
It will be at City Hall. So, but not in the actual City Hall area, but the chamber community room and the outdoor breezeway. So if you're at the farmer's market, come out and check us out too.
Oh, that's wonderful information. So we've got about a minute. I would just like to thank you, April, for coming. Your team is, like I said, just wonderful. And please keep us informed as things go on. Check back. You'll want to go to Cal Hope Shasta's Facebook page. Go to My Umbrella Marketing's Facebook page. We'll put some updated information throughout the month of July and August and help cross-promote that as well. If you're just tuning in, thank you again, April, for coming.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
You're welcome. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Heroes of the North State right here on KCNR's North State Now. And we'd like to have you back in August. It's the second Thursday of the month, 6:05. I'm Michelle Slade. And thank you so much, Cal Hope Shasta, for all you've done. And have a great evening, everyone.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.